Isn't it a joy to be here this morning? Amen. Sing these songs together. Thank you, Larry, for leading us as you do every Lord's Day and helping it. It's just easier to worship God with Larry as leading songs, right? Not to take away from the rest of our great song leaders, because you make it easy as well. This is a wonderful place to serve God, to worship God every Lord's Day, and to be involved together as a spiritual family. All year long, we've been focusing on the words that you see on these particular mats on the wall, the greatest commands. And of course, it takes us to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 22. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And another like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We are to love God with all of our heart, emotions. We are to love God with all of our soul, devotion. And we are to love God with all of our mind, every notion that we harbor on the inside is all to be wrapped up in, focused upon our feelings for God. But I had a friend just this last week say something to me that caused me to take pause. This friend told me, we are really good at telling people what to do without telling them how to do it. And I was thinking about this lesson this morning and I thought, wow, we have spent all year long being blessed so deeply by lessons that teach us to love God in all of these different ways and to love each other to prove our love for God. But I thought, this is where I'm supposed to be. And sometimes I don't feel like I'm there. How about you? I mean, loving God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Sometimes I wonder if I'm there. And I ask, how can I do this better? How do we get there? And so that's where we want to focus our attention this morning. How do we get to where we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind? Here's the secret on the screen. To get there, there is one thing that changes everything. And if I want to love God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my mind, and as Mark and Luke add, with all of my strength, that one thing that changes everything is the one thing that should drive my life. What is that one thing that changes everything? I thought it was love for God. No. It's the one thing that helps me love God. What's the one thing? In reality, the one thing that changes everything is the way I think about obedience. Now, I'm sure that every one of us this morning awakened to the idea, I want to obey God. But why? What comes through our minds when we're saying, obey God? There are differing thoughts about obedience, some of them inaccurate or improper. For example, there are some that think obedience to be something, well, I comply with what God says. God says it. I believe it. That settles it. Perhaps you've heard that before. And the response, no, no, no. God said it. That settles it, whether you believe it or not. And so based upon this idea, to some, obedience is we comply with what God says. No, that's not the proper approach to obedience. In fact, Jesus said himself in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me." They were complying with what God says. They were giving honor to deity, the Son of God. Read Psalms. Exalt. Praise. Give thanksgiving. Worship. These people were doing just that with deity. But Jesus says they're doing it without the heart. And in doing it, it's total emptiness. They were complying, but were they really obeying God? With some people, obedience is the why and wherefore behind all that we do. I mean, after all, why were you baptized? The Bible says so. Why do you worship without the instrument? I mean, this seems kind of odd, doesn't it? No piano, no organ, no guitar, no drums, as you find elsewhere where people are attempting to express feelings to God. So why don't we have instruments of music? Well, because the Bible tells us to do something else. And why do I choose to talk the way I talk, to dress the way I dress, to interact with others the way I interact? Because it's what the Bible says. And so what the Bible says is the why behind what we do. That's not the proper thoughts about obedience, doing something just because the Bible says. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17, we read, "Thanks be unto God that you from the heart have obeyed that form of doctrine delivered to you." You have obeyed, but don't miss the preface to that. From the heart you have obeyed. See, it's not just doing what the Bible says unless you're doing what the Bible says from the heart. And there are folks, if you study their lives and listen to their words, you can get insight into their hearts. And though they're doing things you find in the Bible, the heart's just not there. That's not obedience. To some people, obedience is the do and die behind our lifestyle. I mean, we're going to obey God because we don't want to go to hell. We want to go to heaven. Is that why you obey God or do what God says? You just don't want to go to hell? Remember Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free, that's the word, gift, that's the second word, of God is eternal life. We're going to heaven not because of what we do. Get that? We're going to heaven because of what God has done and offered. Now, there are things we have to do to accept that gift. But in reality, eternal life is possible as a gift, a free gift made possible by God. And it's not, I obey because I don't want to go to hell. That's simply saying, I obey because I'm going to earn my way into heaven. Think differently. That's not obedience. Brother Dan, what's the right approach to this idea of obedience? Jesus said it. "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the what? Will of my Father who is in heaven." Let me paraphrase that, the will of my Father. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but he who does what God wants him to do. Do you remember the words of Jesus in Gethsemane? We sang about it just a few minutes ago. Not my will, but what? Your will be done. So Jesus is that example of someone who had the right idea about obedience. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do, the will of his Father in heaven. That's the one thing that changes everything in your life and mine. That is, I'm going to get up this morning and whatever God wants me to do, as found in Scripture, that's what I want to do. So why am I baptized? It's not because someone won some philosophical or religious debate, proved some debate proposition. Why am I baptized? It's not because this particular church suits my needs more than that particular church, and this church tells me I have to be baptized. Why am I baptized? I am immersed in water for the forgiveness of my sins, baptized because in Scripture, God tells me that's what He wants me to do. So I have no problem debating about that, because what I want is what God wants me to do. Why do we worship the way we worship? Because in Scripture, God is very specific. This is what I want. And He doesn't say anything about this over here. And so we know He wants this, so we worship this way. Why? It's what God wants me to do. That's the proper approach to obedience. Not complying like some heartless robot. Not the why and wherefore, so that we can give somebody an answer to why we do what we do, and not simply because we don't want to go to heaven, to hell. We obey God because we want to do what God wants me to do, and that's the one thing that will change everything in your relationship with the Almighty and the way you and I live our lives. Let's think about that for the next few minutes. I want us to focus on three passages very briefly. Two people and one principle. And when we have done that, it will all come together in one simple package that says, it is so easy to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Let's begin with three passages of Scripture. All three of them are in the same chapter. Turn with me to John chapter 14. As you're turning, let's ask ourselves some background questions relative to John chapter 14. In John 14, where are we? If you study Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account, we're in the city of Jerusalem, where Jesus was crucified. We're actually in the upper room, Luke tells us, of someone that had to have been a friend of Jesus, because Jesus sent his apostles to that someone and said, when you find a man carrying a jar of water, go to him and say, where's my guest room? So apparently Jesus had spent some time with that person in the upper room prior to John 14. So who is speaking? Well, if you read John chapter 14 carefully, you will find that it is Jesus that is actually speaking. In fact, in verse 6, Jesus is in dialogue with the apostle Philip. In verse 9, Jesus is in dialogue with the apostle Thomas. And then in verse 12, Jesus begins a diatribe or a very lengthy statement to all of the apostles. So our passages of interest this morning are spoken by Jesus Himself. And to whom? We've seen the where, we've seen the who. Now to whom were these words written? They were written specifically to all of the apostles, and in generic, to anyone and everyone else. That being said, if you're in John 14 now, turn with me to our first of three passages, verse 15. Let's ask ourselves, as we read these three passages, which comes first? Love or obey? If you're like me, you're going to be rather surprised. Verse 15, if you love me. Pause. Agapao, love. Cognate noun, agape. That's the same word Jesus used in Matthew 22. Love, agapao, the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you agapao, if you want what's best for me because you love me, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The word that Jesus used for keep here is the same word that he used in root form before he left this world and said to the apostles, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The word for Jesus used for observe in Matthew 28, verse 20, is the same root word that he used for keep in our passage of interest. If you love me, you will observe, obey, keep my commandments. Which comes first, love or obey in this passage? Which comes first? Love comes first, right? So if you love me, you're going to obey me. Passage number 2, verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, same word for observe or obey, he it is who loves me. Now back in verse 15, he says, if you, and the word that Jesus used was the plural. We'd say in the South, of course, if y'all love me, y'all will keep my commandments, obey. In this passage, Jesus is more specific. He goes from the y'all to the you. You as a person. Whoever, that means you, and that means you, it means me. Whoever has my commandments and observes, obeys, keeps them, he it is who loves me. Which comes first in this passage? Love or obedience? Which comes first? It's obey. That blew my socks off. I thought, I got this down, man. It's love and then you obey. That's not what Jesus said in this second passage. He says it's obey and then love. The third passage would be verse 23. So let's turn to verse 23. Jesus says, if anyone, now he's still very specific, from whosoever to now anybody, that means you can't question, he's talking about you, isn't he? Are you an anybody? Are you a somebody? We are all somebodies. We all fit into that category, anybody. If anyone loves me, he will, same word, observe, obey, keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Which comes first in the passage, love or obedience? Which is first? In verse 23, love is first. So I put all this together, and this is what I find. Love moves me to obey. When I obey, that proves that I love. Love serves as the bookends that keeps my life together, observing what God tells me to do. So it's love, obey, and therefore people see love. You can't separate the two. I love God. I'll choose to live the way I wish and try to find something in the Bible that substantiates. No. I love God, and that's why I do what I do. I do what I do because this is what God wants, and what God wants is what I want, and that moves me to do what He wants, and that proves to others I want what God wants in my obedience, and that tells you I love Him. Let's go to two people that we might consider as an example of individuals who had this kind of affection for God. Let's start in the Old Testament by going back to 2 Kings chapter 23. Now, this is in a context, if you put it into the surrounding chapters, where priests found a copy of the law of God. It had long since not been a part of the lives of the nation of Judah. And someone found a copy of the law and brought it to King Josiah. King Josiah read it and was gravely disturbed. One passage says that he had a heart of repentance. You keep reading, and he tore his clothes and he wept bitterly because he saw his nation something different than what God's book says, a book called the Book of the Covenant, the Book of the Law. It was Old Testament scripture. And what he read is not what he saw in the nation of Judah. And so as you read 2 Kings 23, this is what Josiah does in great social and spiritual reform. First, he burned all of the idols and the paraphernalia that made for idol worship, took the ashes and threw it in the Kidron River. Second, he said bye. He said goodbye. He said see ya to all of the priests that sacrificed for the people to those false idols. Third, he broke down all of the houses. Are you ready for this? Hold your nose. He broke down all of the houses where male prostitutes sold their bodies so that people could come and have sex with them as a means of worshiping their false idols. And Josiah broke down all of their houses and rendered those prostitutes homeless. Number four, he defiled all of the altars that had been used for idolatrous worship and sacrifice. He would take bones and he would take the ashes of bones and throw them on the idols, and he defiled them. All because of what he read in the Bible. Now, read with me 2 Kings 23, verse 25. And this is God's assessment of the king. Before him, before Josiah, there was no king like him. I want you to think about that. This man lived after David. And God said Josiah was a better king than even David. He lived after Solomon, the man that built the temple that had been defiled by Josiah's peers. And God said Josiah is a better king than even Solomon in all of his wisdom. Before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord. Are you ready for this? With all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might. Sounds a whole lot like what Jesus said in Matthew 22 and Mark 12, loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and might or strength. Here's a man who did what he did because of his love for God and what he found in the Word of God. He did what he did, and God said, that proves this man loves me with everything that is his. So look what Josiah did. Love moved him to do what he did because of what he read in the Bible. Doing what he did because he read in the Bible proves that he loved God. Love, obedience, from the obedience you have proof of love. You can't separate the two. A second person that we might consider would be Jesus himself in the New Testament. If we could, let's go back to John 14 and read what we read from Jesus in John 14, the last verse of the chapter. I do as the Father has commanded me, obedience. so that the world may know that I love the Father. What Jesus did because of his love for God, and it proved that he loved God. You can't separate the two. Obedience is doing what God wants me to do because it's what God wants me to do. And when I have that concept of obedience, doing what God says is easy. And that proves that I love him. If I want to love God more, I need to get a little bit more attention to my obedience and what I'm thinking when I do what God tells me to do. Let's think about one principle. Brother Dan, I get it. Okay, to love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I need to change the way I think about obedience. And I need to want what God wants simply because, no other reason, simply because this is what God wants. That's what Josiah did. That's what Jesus himself did. What can get me to that point? What can help me get to that point to where I do what I do? This is what God wants. End of story. What gets me there? One principle. If you'll turn with me in thought, if not in your New Testaments, to 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Why do we love God? Because God loved us first. Take pause for a moment and think about that. Let it sink in. How empty was heaven when Jesus left and took up residence in the womb of a virgin woman named Mary inside that developing body within her womb? How empty was heaven when Mary's womb was full of the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us? How empty was heaven? Let me tell you, I know what it's like to sit in a house where a son used to sit and where his voice has been silenced and where I will never, ever see him again in this world until the world yet to come. I know what it's like to know the emptiness of not having a son that used to bless your life. How empty was heaven when Jesus left? How did God feel? How did the Spirit feel? What was the awe that just took over the whole angelic host? He's not here anymore, the one who was equal with God. How did the angels feel? How did God feel when he heard the voice of Jesus when he first cried as a little newborn infant? What went through their hearts as they watched Jesus live his life through adolescence and then adulthood in the making, and then watched him as an adult begin to interact? How did they feel? God, the angelic host, the Holy Spirit, how did they feel when they watched Jesus interact with the Pharisees and the scribes who were constantly his menaces? How did they feel? When they heard the words, "Father, forgive them. Today in paradise." Wonder if it stung when they heard the words, "My God, why? I'm thirsty. Into your hands I give my spirit. It's done." How do they feel? I'll tell you how they felt. I'll tell you how God felt. Isaiah 53 in Prospect tells us, it was his good pleasure to do that to Jesus. Not because he's sadistic. Oh no. It was God's pleasure to watch that develop in the life of Jesus in the flesh, because he knew all of that was going to make it possible for me to have forgiveness and hope. He loved me first. And he proved it time and again by sending and watching Jesus live and die. When I remember that God loved me so much, that helps me love. We love him because he first loved us. This, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, John 3:16. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, 1 John 4, 9 and 10. God loves me, man, that makes me want to love him. And when I love him, then you're going to see it in obedience because I'm doing what God wants, because this is what God wants. And that proves to everybody that's watching, I love God. You want to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind? It's simple. Change the way you think about obedience and start doing what the Bible says, not because it's what the Bible says, not because it's what God says, not because you don't want to go to hell. You do what you read in the Bible because it's what God wants for your life. And you want what God wants because you love him. Why do you love him? Because he loved you first. It's that simple. We make it complex. God loves me. I'm going to reciprocate by loving him. And because of my love for him, I want what he wants. Diane comes to me and she says, did you see that yellow dress in the window of Macy's? Yes, I did. It was pretty. She said, I love that yellow dress. I'd love to have that yellow dress. And I'm thinking all along, I hate her in yellow. And so her birthday rolls around and I go, I'm going to go, I know what to buy. I'm going to go buy that dress in the Macy's window. And I go buy that dress and I buy it in the color blue. My favorite color. Did I do what Diane wanted? Now, if you know Diane, you would know she would accept that blue dress and be very grateful for it. But have I really done what she wanted? If she wants that yellow dress, she's going to get that yellow dress as long as it don't cost more than $5. Right? I do what Diane wants me to do because I love her. And when you see me doing what Diane wants me to do, that proves to you that I love her. And that's the way it is with loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And do you know why I love Diane so much? Because she loves me. And she proves that to me over and over again by her sacrificial lifestyle. It's really simple, isn't it? Isn't it? Does God love you? Are you convinced that God loves you? Do you love him in return? Then change the way you think about obedience. Engage in the one thing that changes everything. And start doing what you do because it's simply what God wants you to do. Then God and everyone else will know you really love him. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're saying to yourself, now I've heard all this stuff about believing in Jesus, and I do. I've read in the Bible and I've heard people talk about repent and how that's changing the way you think and thus changing the way you live. And I'm willing to do that. And I've heard this idea of confessing your faith in Jesus before others. I do that now. But I've heard this idea about baptize, and I keep hearing that when I go to that church, but I've never done that. Why? Why? Well, it's not what I was taught when I was growing up, so? Well, you're telling me that I have to do this if I want to go to heaven? I know many wonderful people that haven't done that and died, and what about them? Well, what about them? We're talking about you. And why haven't you been baptized? If it's in the Bible, it's what God wants. If you love God, you're going to do what God wants because it's what God wants you to do. It's that simple. And that proves your love for him. What kind of a husband are you? What kind of a wife are you? You in fuss all the time? You fighting all the time? You wondering if divorce is a prospect as a solution for what you're having to go through? Or do you love your spouse in ways that sacrifices for your spouse? Are you the husband God wants you to be? The wife God wants you to be? Are you a teenage son or daughter that's functioning the way you function because the way you live is the way God wants you to live? I'm going to close with this question. And then Larry's going to come up and lead us in the invitation song. And you know the answer. You know, and other people do too if they study your life. Do you really, really, really love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind? Do you? Think about it as we stand together and as we sing.